Remember how the Jetsons used to zip around in their flying car? Well, some companies are working on flying cars of their own. Uber showed off an autonomous air taxi at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas last month. And Boeing recently did a flight test of its own on a personal air vehicle. But Derek Thompson is not holding his breath. He's senior editor at The Atlantic, and he joins us as he does each Monday from New York. Hi, Derek.
Hello, Jeremy.
So you call flying cars the Godot of technology, always on its way, never here. Why?
Well, physics. It takes an enormous amount of energy to lift any large machine into the air, much less a large machine filled with humans. This is why airplanes are really loud. This is why helicopters are really, really loud. It takes huge amounts of energy. It's extremely costly, and it's not particularly feasible for any individual. So taking essentially helicopter airplane technology and outfitting it for single individuals such that you have not just flying air buses, but flying cars, that's been very difficult to do for the last few decades, notwithstanding the promises in the Jetsons. So I think you really have to start right there. This is a physics problem that has to be overcome by technology, and it hasn't been overcome nearly as quickly as we've overcome a lot of other seemingly magical things like those which our phones can do. But right now, essentially, I think you have a lot of tech companies that you might have thought of as sort of software companies, software service companies, thinking, okay, let's focus all of our money, all of our attention, or at least a lot of it, into developing flying cars finally.
Okay, so we haven't reached chitty chitty bang bang just yet, but you've thought about this a lot and how it would work. So tell me about how this would work. What kind of infrastructure would you need to have in cities if you were going to have a system of, let's say, flying taxis?
Right. Yeah. So let's think through this. The flying taxis can't really land in a parking spot. It's kind of impossible to aim that directly. It's also going to create an enormous amount of chaos whenever these things are landing. So what you want to do is you want to make the landing platform elevated. So essentially what a lot of these companies are thinking is if we build a lot of these vertical landing platforms around a city, then if you want to be flown around by a flying taxi, what you would do is essentially go on your phone, press a button, press an app, tap it, and then hop on an elevator to the nearest vertiport and then take the flying taxi from that elevated landing platform, from that, say, Uber Air or that Boeing technology. But you can't essentially have a bunch of heavy flying vehicles constantly descending to the street level.
Is the idea, by the way, that the flying vehicles would be, like, electric, so they wouldn't be emitting emissions?
Ideally, yes. Ideally, you'd want them both to be electric and self-driving. Now, the self-driving thing might sound like a surprise to some people. Why do we need these vehicles to be autonomous, especially given how hard it is to make terrestrial cars autonomous? Well, flying is hard. Getting your license to fly a small airplane or a helicopter, that's difficult. But we would need an enormous number of these flying taxis, enormous number of these flying vehicles in order to make the system work. And the thought is, if you have a pilot error in the sky, it's not just a little fender bender. It's an enormous multi-ton vehicle crashing down from the sky, taking out a skyscraper, and maybe falling onto some people on the sidewalk. What you want is to develop a nearly foolproof system of autonomous air taxi technology so that these vehicles are essentially like what we would dream Teslas would be on the Earth, both electric and self-driving.
Okay, so if there are so many problems with this idea, then why are these companies trying this out? Why does Uber, why does Boeing want to keep working on this?
Let me give you my personal sort of perspective on this and then descend into sort of the industry level. My feeling is that several years ago, you had a lot of technologists and a lot of transportation companies who insisted that self-driving cars are going to be a big part of the urban landscape by the early 2020s. That hope has proven illusory. So instead of accepting defeat or instead of saying, oops, you know, we were wrong, this is simply going to take another decade or two, a lot of mobility tech companies are essentially shifting this laser beam of optimism from self-driving earth taxis to self-driving air taxis. They're simply sort of relocating their optimism. The other thing that you could think is, all right, you have essentially in every technological category, democratization. What you don't have, essentially, though, is true democratization of the skies. You still have to go to an airport in order to fly somewhere. But these sort of mobility tech companies are envisioning a world where you could democratize flying as well through a system of elevated transportation platforms and autonomous electric self-flying flying taxis. You can essentially bring flying technology to the people and allow them to move around cities in a much more efficient way than they currently do. A lot of times people say we want to take urban transportation from 2D, which is cars driving around flat streets, to 3D, which would include self-driving cars flying between the skyscrapers.
But you think that will not happen anytime soon?
It's not going to happen anytime soon because the technology is so unbelievably difficult. The same problems that we've had for the last many, many decades are the same problems we're going to have for the decades coming in the future. I think we already have 3D technology, 3D transportation in cities. It's on ground and underground in the subways.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, thank you.
Thank you.
And here now is a production of NPR and WBUR. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now.
Jane is right.